For today's episode, we will cover autism and sensory processing. We will cover how the sensing organs communicate up to the human brain, which gives rise to perceptions. In the Autism and Eye Movements episode, we covered the superior colliculus and the mesencephalon. We will expand on the mesencephalon, also known as the midbrain. We will introduce the inferior colliculus. The superior and inferior colliculus of the midbrain are major regions of interest for extracting sensations from the environment to allow the living organism to learn and understand their environment. Before the central nervous system is developed during embryogenesis from the neural tube, this is huge and, in my opinion, overlooked in the pathophysiology of autism. The mesencephalon is unlike other regions of embryogenesis and the development of the living organism. The mesencephalon does not further evolve or develop into more complex biology. In addition, we will cover some basics of sensory processing, autism or not. We will cover how melanin are involved in all sensory organs. Remember, melanin is semiconductive properties that allows the transfer of signals. Nerve impulses, action potentials, and so forth. Melanin is huge here, whereby it generates more electricity, more efficiency, more power. So let's start here with melanin. It is important to get a foundation on how the sensing organs work. We will start with my favorite in last week's episode, the eyes. We have covered melanopsin, something not discovered in the human biology until 1998 by Iggy Provencio. Melanopsin is a chromophore. Everyone should know what chromophores are. The translation of chromophore is light carrier or carriers of light. These are proteins that absorb specific wavelengths of light. The future of medicine will be centered around quantum physics, quantum biology. Hopefully, it is closer to hitting the masses 10 years from now instead of 100 years from now. It is already happening, just not well accepted or established. In large part, because of the evolved understanding of mitochondria. Mitochondria allows us to understand these electrons and protons in more detail and what powers the powerhouse of the cell. Remember the question, and you need to answer. You need to ask yourself, what do you think light is? Melanopsin absorbs blue light wavelength and generates all of our biology attached to wakefulness. So it has indirect influences on what is anti-correlated with wakefulness, and that is the dark cycle, or sleep. It is a two-part process, and they're independent. Light and arousal, or wakefulness, and dark, or calming, and sleep. It is a blue light chromophore for this process because blue is the most dominant color on Earth. Of course, it's the sky. Now, modern humans, since we have moved indoors, might miss that connection. But evolutionarily, and all other species besides house pets and zoo animals, blue sky is the dominant color. Hard stop. This is all you need to know about modern health. This is all you need to know about accelerated aging, with the dementias and the obesity, losing energy to the environment, and the rates of autism and various other neurodevelopmental delays, and also cancer and CVD problems. This is all connected to the modern environments. Anyway, that is another topic. Look up the contrasting colors in our eyes with short, medium, and long wavelengths. There is a reason why you will see blue and yellow, or paired. Okay, now melanopsin is non-visual biology. And for vision, we have another source of melanin in the eye, the retinal pigmentum epithelium, or RPE. The RPE is connected to the choroid, the area that provides the nutrients to the eye. Remember our discussion on DHA as well. DHA in the central retinal pathway is huge. Remember all of the electrons that the DHA carries. Based on melanin's role, you can see why the pupil is black as well. We are taking information from the environment and sending it into our biology to learn the environment. Information and energy. That is what light is. From the Autism and Eye Movements episode, you know the superior colliculus is a region that quickly receives the signal to integrate the information and conduct downstream behaviors by recruiting necessary brain regions. Same for the thalamus and the subdivision of the thalamus, the lateral geniculate nucleus. This is where magnocellular and parvocellular are introduced. And remember the episode on oxytocin. Magnocellular sees large objects. Parvocellular sees fine details and color. Okay, audition, our auditory biology. The easy one is the cochlear nucleus. And audition is where the inferior colliculus of the midbrain comes into play. More sensory integration and also the medial geniculate nucleus of the thalamus. It sits right next to the lateral geniculate, so the medial geniculate receives auditory information. The lateral geniculate receives visual information. Melanin are in the stria vascularis and the spiral ligament regions, and in the cochlea. Unlike other areas and cells, the ear, more specifically, the cochlea, does not have axons for signaling. Instead, hair and the melanin are used. This is wild. Melanin sheets, which pretty much determines health and lifespan, are melanin sheets throughout our body. Melanin sheets in the ear are proximal to auditory nerves. You can easily connect why vision and hearing decreases with age. This is why. With audition, misophonia is a condition. In autism, that is the overstimulated, overwhelming of noises, that sensitivity. Now, with autism, there's both hyper and hyposensitivity. And this is true. There is a lack of environmental influence and an overstimulation of sensory and environmental influence. When we parse out scientific literature later, covering autism and senses, we will go over this, the differences. This is why sensory processing is an important topic. Most, or more likely, all autistics have the sensory processing phenomena. And this is why I think the mesencephalon is important, the area of the brainstem, the midbrain, that integrates sensations and helps recruit brain and spine connectivity. It is no surprise, it is undisputed, that autistics have problems with integrating sensory signals and processing it downstream with connectivity, functional connectivity, to perceive the environment. In previous episodes, I described hearing can get like a later Beatles track in the late 60s Beatles, 1967, 1968, 69. Those Beatles tracks, towards the end of the songs, they started to experiment with various sources of sound, some instruments and some not instruments, just anything they could find around the recording studio. I think I remember one time hearing about they used a broom and swept it across the rug. And I know Neil Young and his country band used to do this as well. But the Beatles songs, they would just find anything to create noise out of. You can hear Sgt. Pepper's album or the White Album. Albums like that in the late 60s, towards the ends of the tracks, they would implement this. It's all about blending sounds. And sometimes in social settings, my hearing can start to do this. When people are loud and talking over each other, there's multiple sources of auditory information coming in. That's whenever I say, see ya. I don't need to be there in that gathering. The gathering will gather without me. I am not interested in that environment. Okay, the skin. Mechanoreceptors. Touch. Of course, melanin is on the skin. Alpha melanocyte stimulating hormones. AMSH. This melanocyte and the other two, the beta and gamma melanocytes, are all from an area of the hypothalamus that we have covered. It's POMC, pro-opio melanocortin. This is tied to cortisol and tied to leptin. If the brain is our metabolic bank accountant that allocates and conserves energy based off of the sensory and perception, leptin is our energy accountant. These are slightly different. Leptin is like the scorekeeper. How is the energy level of the living organism, and it sends that information up to the brain? Mainly the leptin melanocortin pathway. Modern people think about leptin and they might think food as the first thing. I'm low on energy, so I need food. This is untrue. This is poor critical thinking. There are reasons why vitamin D receptors and the red light chromophores are on the inner membrane of the mitochondria. You don't need food for energy. We create endogenous glucose, and the electromagnetic fields of light properties can stimulate our biology for energy. Remember autism and gastrointestinal episode. Melanocytes and carotenocytes of the epidermis. now connect the neuroepithelial cells in the embryonic process. One melanocyte supplies melanin to 36 carantinocytes. And remember in that episode on the epidermis with the carantinocytes, remember TPH1, tryptophan, hydroxylase 1. This is huge in the gut process. So let's go to the enteric nervous system and the gastrointestinal tract. Melanin are involved in all of those enterochromaffin cells. The gut makes a lot of light in this biological conduction. Prokaryotic and eukaryotic cells. Prokaryotic cells have the cytochrome C oxidase, and eukaryotic cells on the inner mitochondrial membrane. This is the fourth cytochrome, the fourth complex, the last process before ATPase. Cytochrome C oxidase is the last part of the oxidative phosphorylation. This is where energy is really happening. And bacteria in these enterochromaffin cells, in the prokaryotic cells, bacteria emits probably, or it is, bacteria emits the most light in all of our biology. These biophotons. Remember, we absorb light and our mitochondria make light. We create light. This is the transduction. This is the semiconductive properties. Again, this is taking information from the environment so the living organism can learn and can perceive the environment. If you think about autism and the lack of environmental influences to learn the environment, to build these connections downstream across the central nervous system and even across these other nervous systems, the peripheral and the enteric, all of these are communicating. All of these are connected via neuroectoderm, also called neuroepithelial cells. This is neurulation. We will cover this more in detail. This is embryogenesis. This is where, in my opinion, autism research must go. We must go this far upstream and then work in this direction. This will allow us to reveal when autism is occurring and the true pathophysiology of autism, instead of the way we approach it now, which is too far downstream. There are way too many variables. How are we continuing from this direction? If everything that is known about autism and GI problems, these items are huge. These items are connected. Likely, the two most common comorbid conditions in all of these autism and XYZ comorbid conditions. The most common are GI, sensory processing, and another one from a recent episode, autism and speech and language. Migration and the embryogenesis are regions of interest for all of these. If you're listening to the episode, listening to the podcast, please feel free to leave a review or rating. In podcasting, reviews, ratings, and downloads are huge. And I very much appreciate your feedback. You can contact me on X at RPS47586, and we can have discussions about autism. And you can check out the YouTube channel for all of the full episodes and clips and shorts. You can check out the Hop link for links across different platforms and contact information. You can email me at info.fromthespectrum@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to From the Spectrum Podcast.